Hello everyone, this is Tim. Welcome to North and South Podcasts. Hope you're all doing well. Some news. First of all, if you can contribute the cost of a cup of coffee once a month to the podcast, I know times are tight, it would be really appreciated. And I really appreciate all the people who made contributions in the past and people who are doing regular monthly contributions. It makes a huge difference to take this project forward. And I just want to announce a new epoch in the history of the podcast, because we're now looking to evolve into a community interest company, which is effectively an early form of a charity to do podcasting with vulnerable people. And it might be people who are struggling in the education system, people who are affected by well-being, loneliness, elderly people, people with disabilities, disadvantage, whatever it is. I'm looking to start doing podcasts with people to get their lived experiences out there and to teach them podcasting skills and to give people a voice in the community. So that's a new approach that we're taking, we're expanding. And I would really like to get other people involved with this. So if you're any good with video podcasting and you want to get involved at any level, I'm also looking to expand in creating electronic music and mixing electronic music with a friend of mine who's thinking about getting on board with North and South Podcasts moving forward. So if you're interested in getting involved in those kind of things I've mentioned, and in any podcasting aspects, particularly to do with local issues in the Liverpool area, but also global issues around the world as well, please get in touch. Please like, subscribe and share with at least one other person. Subscribe on all the different platforms, YouTube and Spotify, and spread the word. It does help. Right, today's podcast is a little bit of a morbid one. But I don't think it is, but it is to a degree. And you may be affected by some of these issues, because I'm going to discuss the shadow of death that is always on our shoulder, because we are all mortal and we're only here for a certain amount of time. And there's a famous photograph of Earth taken by one of the Voyager probes as it was leaving the solar system. And it turned round and they took a shot of Earth. There's a tiny blue dot in the distance. I think it was Carl Sagan had to persuade NASA, I think, to do this shot. And there's this little blue dot in the distance. It's basically, I think, Carl Sagan, who was an astrophysicist, astronomer, who said that all the people you've ever known, all the history of the Earth, everything that you've ever experienced exists on that tiny blue dot in the distance on the edge of our solar system, which is a very, very average solar system in an average galaxy, in a universe of billions and billions of galaxies. And it just makes you appreciate the miracle of life and the miracle of our humanity, and also how very fragile and fleeting life is. And today's podcast fits in with other podcasts I've done in the past, such as the Last Time podcast, which refers to the Stoic belief that you should always be thinking, what if it's the last time I'm doing this particular activity? And I remember the last time I saw my Aunt Colette, I didn't realise it was going to be the last time I saw her, and then she passed quite soon afterwards. And the Stoics advocate the use of wisdom at all times to get us through life, to be able to deal with challenges and difficulties. And it kind of fits in with the idea of mindfulness, which is about living in the present moment and being aware of the things you're doing while you're actually doing them, instead of thinking about a future point when everything's going to be great. That's not how life works, and it certainly shouldn't be how life works. I'm also going to talk about the idea of gratitude, which is about going through your day being more grateful for what you get rather than thinking about what you haven't got, which kind of goes against our evolutionary adaptations, but there's still an element of wisdom to incorporate gratitude. And I think as well as that, today's podcast is going to be about going through difficult times and being able to identify them as difficult times and saying that you will get through these difficult times and things can get better. So I'm going to touch on all those different themes in today's podcast. In 2007, I had been suffering with a genetic illness I've got for about 4 years, and it had been a bit up and down. I was on strong meds. I was struggling in work. Made me feel very tired, this condition. And I'd lost some sight in my right eye, and I was constantly worried about losing more sight and the qualitative impact that would have on my life. And I was dealing with this condition called Behçet's disease. And I want to get some people on to podcasts who've got rare conditions and to talk about the impact of rare conditions and general disability on one's ability to live, quote unquote, a normal life. But I was really struggling in work, and I was struggling in my family life and my private life. I didn't have any kids at the time, and I don't know how that would have impacted on things. But I was also suffering, I think, from long-term anxiety, OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and also an anxiety which I felt quite strongly at times, which a lot of people might be surprised with, because I can come across as quite confident at times, but I suppose everyone's like that to some extent, aren't they? Where you go through spells of anxiety and spells when you might come across as being quite anxiety-free. But it is what it is. I suppose that's life experience. And don't forget, a bit of anxiety is good for us. It's why we're all here now, because our ancestors were anxious about their surroundings and survived and passed on them genes. But in February 2007... I had a really big turning point in my life, because I had a serious infection which I'd been suffering from physically for a few months. I had a huge lump on my neck that looked like one of them buboes from the Black Death, which was quite scary, really, but the doctors at the time said it will pass. I was very, very physically ill, and I went into hospital in late February 2007, and I didn't know you could feel that bad and live or stay conscious. I just literally just wanted to just, I needed it to stop. And I remember thinking, like, in the hospital, like, well, don't you just give me something to just, like, completely knock me out, because this is horrible. But of course, they don't do that unless it's an extreme circumstance and you have to ride it out. But some days I would sleep for 24 hours and, like, I'd wake up and eat and then just go straight back to sleep and, like, just sleep like that for, you know, 18, 24 hours. And then other days I'd feel a bit better. And anyway, this went on for 6 months, this physical illness. But just at the very end of February, I had an extra dose of steroid prednisolone, which is a treatment for my Behçet's disease to manage my eyes. And I took a little bit extra. And I remember when I first went on it, they kept saying to me, the specialists, you need to be careful with that. It can have impacts on your mental health, steroids. And for 4, 5 years, I've been doing okay on them, generally, and responding to treatment. Anyway, while I was physically ill, I felt absolutely terrible one day, and it was just like this horrible feeling just went right through me, and it was the emergence of what I now recognise as depression, and it was horrible. And to have depression and extreme physical illness at the same time, it was just a double whammy of horror. And that's all I can describe it as. I wouldn't have wished February to July of 2007 on me, like, worst enemies. I didn't see any good in it. It did help me on the other side come out and be grateful for things, which I'll get to in a minute. But I went through a real, really turbulent time. My marriage ended as well. I never had a home. I never had a job. I was meant to be going to Australia. Then I wasn't. It was horrible. It was a difficult, difficult time, and I somehow managed to get through it, and depression became a difficulty for me, which I had to navigate, particularly acutely for about 5 months until early July 2007, when antidepressants kind of kicked in and relieved some of the symptoms, which I was extremely grateful for, because I just don't think I could have gone on the way that I was feeling at the time. And I couldn't stand up for about February, March, April. I was finding it very difficult to be able to stand up and like go to the toilet. I needed help getting to sleep because I felt so bad. I was totally dependent on others. Totally dependent on others. And my mum and dad were working at the time. My nan, who's no longer with us, was coming in and checking on me. I was in my family home. My friends were coming to see how I was. And a lot of people rallied around me. And I realised how lucky I was to have family and home, because a lot of people don't have that. And I was talking to a homeless guy recently about why he was on the street, and he just said, like, he doesn't get any help from his family, he doesn't get on with his family or whatever. And I remember thinking, God, where would I have been if I hadn't have had the connections, the social connections I had in 2007 when I was, like, down and out, as it were. And it was a very, very difficult time. At the time, I started to look at people who were suffering misfortune very differently. I thought, wow, that could be me. Wow, that could be me. And if I heard someone had lost someone, I'd be quite on the front foot saying, listen, I'm sorry to hear about your loss. And when people were going through difficult times, whereas it before what happened to me, I might have thought, oh, well, I wouldn't know what to say. I was far more forthcoming in approaching people and saying, are you okay? And not judging people and helping people and getting involved in things that helped people, because I just felt like I'd been there and I'd been completely dependent on other people to help me in the health service, in my home life, everything. And I was just so grateful to still be alive, and so grateful to have what I had in my life, age 29, and I just turned 30 at about that time. But there was a spell for a couple of weeks when I was in hospital, and I could see that they didn't know what I had, and this huge lump on my neck, and I'm thinking, like, what's going on here? They were testing for cancers, all kinds. And it just really made me reevaluate everything. And I don't think I've ever had a moment like that before or since in terms of breakthrough, about understanding what life really is and what a gift life is and what all the good things in our life are. I don't think I've ever had that kind of level of understanding of it since then or before then. And I feel like I'm a much better person for what I went through. As a result of this, I started to learn how to speak Spanish. I started to value travel more. I'd always travelled, and I started to learn how to play the piano. My daily appreciation and gratitude of things was enhanced significantly. And my desire to help others, particularly those who were not as fortunate as me, was greatly enhanced. And I've always been politically someone who would seek to help others and to do things for the common good and for the community and to be on a par with others around me. And that's always been an instinct, but it was greatly enhanced in that time when I felt like I'd kind of looked death in the eyes. But I don't want to sound too dramatic, but I'd been through the mill, and I was to continue to go through the mill in terms of anxiety and depression for a further, I think, at least 3.5 years before medication settled and I came off the steroids. When I came off the steroids, which I needed to take for my genetic illness, the feelings of anxiety and depression significantly lessened. And it was a revelation when that happened. I can't tell you how bad things were for me mentally in those years, but particularly in those 6 months of 2007. What also changed was my understanding of what these kinds of conditions were, like depression. I used to read about it in a paper, or you'd think, who are these people who have this stuff? And you start this idea that, oh, those people all need locking up. And we are much better at talking about well-being these days and to be open and frank about it. And long may that continue. What I would say, though, is I remember hearing a guitarist from, I forget the guy's name now. He was in a famous band from the 70s. I could do with remembering his name, but the point is, he was told he had 12 months to live, and he did like a farewell tour, and then he realised that he didn't. He was in bad company. He was the guitarist in bad company, and then he realised he didn't. He'd made a mistake. It was like a 4% chance or something. And then he realised that he didn't have less than a few months to live. And then he said he went back into some of his old habits. Life had a much more clearer focus for him when he was ill, or thought he was not going to be around for that much longer. I think that's very interesting about bearing in mind the idea that our days here are limited and we need to take full advantage of them and enjoy them while we've got them. And yeah, life can be tough, but it's about being mindful of the tough times and training the mind to be better and to improve. Also, I think as I've got a bit older, I think losing people close to you, and although I've lost no one in my immediate family, I've lost people from my extended family, some of them, like, you know, are reaching a particular age or whatever, and these things happen. But, you know, people who before the time have been taken from us, and you hear about these things, and then you know some of these people, and then as you get older, you hear about more and more people who are no longer with us. And it just gets you thinking about things. So my friend Ray, who we used to play cricket with, was taken from us far too soon, and others from my cricket club, people from my extended family, have mentioned Colette. And Dave, who is not someone who I'm immediately close with, but I used to see him at football games. I've been to some away games with him, and whenever I was in his company, he was just a great fella, and he's been taken from us with a young family or three kids, and his wife's still around, and it just gets you thinking about things and how much we should be grateful for everything that we have while we've got it. So it's important to be mindful, to show gratitude, because these things are muscles. They need practice, and we can lose them. They can go away. These focuses very easily, and we get caught up in the rat race and trying to get from one day to the next and looking forward to the weekend without just stopping and just appreciating what you've got and trying to enjoy the little things that you experience every day. And I think that's all part of the good life that I've mentioned a lot on other podcasts, to do with the good life, to be involved with others, to be part of the community, to better yourself, and to just be human, and to be a wise human. It's the work of a lifetime. But one thing's for sure, every day that you're here, you're a day closer to not being here. And you should cherish every single moment. There is a lot of diversity in the world, and that's good. But we've all got a basic unity, and that is our mortality and our humanity. And there's a lot of people that divide us, people who are negative, Machiavellian, miserable people who would seek to divide us. And there's a big thing in politics at the moment around the world of people who have an us versus them mentality to everything, because it winds people up. And a lot of these people often do well in things, but we're better than that. And we need to find a common good and a betterment that unites us all. And we should live every day like it's our last and just enjoy those good things. So when you listen to this, I want you to do three things that you enjoy doing today. And I want you to be appreciative of what you've got and the people around you that matter to you, and tell them. Tell them that they matter to you. Because one day they won't be here. And one day you won't either.